follow most. This is Spielpod.com, the week in Georgia, in English, coming to you from the sunny coast of Brava in Catalonia, currently within Spain. Today is Thursday, the 6th of July, 2017. On this date in 1189, Richard the Lionheart is crowned King of England. 1770, the Russian fleet beats Turkey at the Battle of Chesme. 1898, the U.S. Senate votes to annex Hawaii. 1923, the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics is officially declared following the Bolsheviks' defeat of the White Army in the Russian Civil War. 2016, Pokemon Go is first released. It's only been 1 year. Birthdays are Frida Kahlo in 1907 and the Dalai Lama in 1935. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. The podcast is written by Robin Bortner. Welcome aboard, Robin. It is edited still by Joe Larson. If you'd like to comment on the forum or ask a question, go to Spielpod.com or send us an email at Spielpod@gmail.com. U.S. Vice President and well-known pendejo Mike Pence announced he will tour Georgia, Estonia, and Montenegro before August the 2nd, although the exact date and itinerary have not yet been released. So far, the White House hasn't given official rationale for the tour. It looks like trying to reinforce NATO to allies will be the primary objective. The visit's statements released by the White House suggested, despite the mixed signals coming from the Trump administration about NATO, Russia, and its commitments abroad, the administration will continue the previous policy of supporting democratization defense initiatives in Georgia and other former Soviet countries. By mixed signals, we mean the U.S. president saying NATO is bullshit, and although he doesn't understand it, he thinks it's a ripoff. Merkel got the message loud and clear when they first met. Pence's visit coincides with NATO's international military exercise known as Noble Partner, which he will personally observe and pretend to care about, much in the way that the Bush administration observed the August 2008 Russian invasion and pretended to care. This is the third year that Georgia is holding the exercise, the largest to date, and 11 different NATO members and partner states will participate, including Turkey, Armenia, and Azerbaijan. According to its description, Noble Partner emphasizes NATO's ability to quickly move soldiers and equipment throughout Europe and operate together within a coalition for potential future operations. Pence's office said that these exercises and his visit to Georgia, Estonia, and Montenegro are an attempt, as we said, to reassure U.S. allies that are neighbors of Russia. Related to the visit in May, meeting in Washington with Prime Minister Georgi Kvitikashvili, Pence praised the Georgian Prime Minister's leadership on political and, big eye roll, economic reforms, and reaffirmed U.S. support for Georgia's decision to pursue integration into Euro-Atlantic institutions, including NATO. In addition to the visit with NATO forces as a planned meeting with Prime Minister Kvitikashvili and President Margvelashvili, no further events in Georgia have been confirmed as of yet. In Tallinn, Pence will meet with the presidents of Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania, and Podgorica will meet with Montenegro's present prime minister, in addition to other regional leaders in the Adriatic Charter Summit. Last month, Rustavioti reported that the Georgian Ministry of Defense notified its NATO allies that it would be interested in decreasing its troop commitment in Afghanistan. This Monday, in Brussels, however, the defense minister, Levani Zoria, claimed that the request was a misunderstanding and pledged to maintain its current troop levels and coordinate all strategic military decisions with its NATO allies. Georgia's involvement in Afghanistan has gotten a lot of praise from Vice President Pence. During the May meeting with Prime Minister Kvitikashvili in Washington, Pence specifically honored the lives of the 31 Georgians who had died in Afghanistan and the 872 serving there at the time. Following up on the case surrounding Mustafa Emre Çabuk, the Turkish schoolteacher who's currently in pretrial detention while awaiting extradition to Turkey, 8 non-governmental organizations, including the hardest-working NGO in the Caucasus, Transparency International Georgia, and Amnesty International, continue to campaign against the extradition of Mustafa Emre Çabuk to Turkey. Çabuk, who was one of the governors of Demirel College in Tbilisi, was imprisoned on the 24th of May following an official visit to Georgia by Turkish Prime Minister Binali Yildirim. He stands accused of links to the Gulenist organization connected to U.S.-based cleric Fethullah Gulen, whom the Turkish government blames for last year's failed coup attempt. Moreover, Turkey is demanding the extradition as a demonstration of Georgia's political loyalty. In their statement, the NGOs claimed that the link between Chibuk and the Gulenist movement is a politically motivated fabrication, and any politically motivated extradition is illegal under Georgia's constitution. Three-month extradition request will expire on the 25th of August. In the meantime, Chibuk's attorney has requested asylum from the Ministry of Refugees and has presented supporting documents from the International Human Rights Organization. The extradition process is on pause while the asylum application is being processed. Spokesman for the department said the decision on Chibuk's asylum application will be made on the 7th of July. Chibuk's wife, Tuba, has been receiving threats via social media. She has requested special protection from the state security services. A decision on whether to grant that request is pending with the prosecutor's office. The Chibuk case, along with June's abduction of Afghan Mukhtarli to Azerbaijan, places Georgia's extradition policies in the international spotlight and is a serious test of the government's relationship with its neighbors, Europe, and human rights policies. Vladimir Putin, speaking of which, his aide Vladislav Surkov, who oversees Georgia's Abkhazia and South Ossetia regions, and I do mean overseas, visited Suchumi to promote Russian business and investment and a future dual citizenship program for Abkhazians. After meeting with the region's president and prime minister, Raul Khachimba and Beslan Bartsis, respectively, Surkov announced that a new stage of bilateral investment had been launched. That means more Russian businesses will be established in Abkhazia and more investment will go into regional infrastructure and tourism. Surkov expressed dissatisfaction at restrictions on the purchase of real estate, which is currently limited to Abkhazian citizens only, and expressed hopes that the restriction would be lifted. This is a major bone of contention, as the Russians would like to be able to hoover up all nice private parcels of land, of which there are many there that previously were owned by Georgians. Surkov promised that efforts would continue to fulfill the 2008 agreement between Russia and Abkhazia, which would allow dual citizenship. As of Thursday morning, the Georgian government had not yet commented on the visit. Russian military forces have been accused of moving the South Ossetian border further into Georgian territory again, this time by 500 meters, which is an unusually large amount. President Margvelashvili strongly condemned the border relocation and stated he would use all diplomatic levers available to stop further border movement. The movement was observed by Gori Governor David Tsertsvadze, who also reported increased border fortifications. European Union Monitoring Mission issued a statement confirming only the 19th of June placement of new green border signs close to the administrative boundary line. The signs were not in Tbilisi-administered territory, but were condemned along with all other borderization activity. It has not confirmed this specific move. The issue will be addressed on the 11th of July at the Incident Prevention and Response Mechanism, or IPRM, at the border village of Ergneti. I have to say, it's a bit frustrating that the excellent maps and records that the EUMM have related to the Russians moving the border have never been published. They simply report to member countries who may or may not say, tisk-tisk. So everybody, for my next birthday or Christmas or St. Mevlüt's Day present, I want a beautifully laid out and printed book, also online under Creative Commons license, in English, Georgian, and Russian, the maps and timeline of changes, as well as a beautiful decorative wall poster, topographical, of course. Why are they keeping this from us? Come on. An exchange of fire at the line of contact between Azerbaijan and Nagorno-Karabakh on Monday killed two civilians, 50-year-old Sahiba Gulieva and her 2-year-old granddaughter, and injured another person. Spokespeople for the governments of Azerbaijan and Armenia each accused the other side of violating the ceasefire. The incident supports the opinion released in June by the International Crisis Group, which warns that tensions between the two countries are at a dangerous peak. The Minsk Group of the International Mediator Organization for Security and Cooperation, OSCE, urged both sides to de-escalate and participate in good faith negotiations. Otsneva officially named Energy Minister and Deputy Prime Minister Kahi Kaladze as its candidate for the mayor of Tbilisi. He'll represent the party in municipal elections scheduled for the third week of October. He'll face off against Rustavi Ori news anchor Zaul Udomashvili of the National Movement and parliamentarian Elena Khoshtaria for the Movement for Liberty, European Georgia. Both Kaladze and Udomashvili provided glimpses of their policy platforms this week. Kaladze spoke about renovating the city's infrastructure, and Udomashvili labeled himself an angry Tbilisiite who will fight against Bidzina's oligarchy. Khoshtaria hadn't said much yet. Also, Civil.ge reported that there's speculation that City Councilman Aliko Elisashvili, an independent environmentalist, will declare his candidacy. He's very independent and has been big on historical architectural preservation, was a key player in Tbilisi Hamkadi, the most important civic organization trying to protect old buildings. Legal dispute continues between the Ministry of Environment and Georgian Manganese over environmental fines totaling $82 million. The company operates a mining operation in Chiatura. It was fined by the government in 2016 for severe oil and water contamination. Most recently, the Kutaisi Appeals Court ruled in favor of the mining company on a technicality, arguing that the government did not have proper grounds to assess the fines. Transparency International Georgia weighed in against the May court appointment of a special administrator to oversee compliance, calling the special administrator's broad authority unsubstantiated. However, the case is far from settled and will be further appealed by the government. Georgia's marking 25 years of diplomatic relations with several countries this summer. According to media reports, specific events have marked the anniversary with the United States, Denmark, Germany, and China. In a statement published this week, China emphasized Georgia's role in the developing Silk Road Economic Belt Project, and Denmark praised Georgia's partnership with the EU and NATO. A large fire broke out on Sunday in the Eliava market near Didube Station. Roughly 2,300 square meters suffered damage. The fire was initially contained but broke out again about half an hour later. The fire department blamed that on the presence of easily flammable materials. One individual had to be hospitalized. Thousands of uninsured vendors suffered material losses, according to a report from OC Media. This is the second major fire to break out in Tbilisi this year. On the 30th of January, 10,000 square meters were damaged at Station Square. After the January fire, the government called for investigations and reforms that would require better insurance and building safety. So, yeah, a work in progress. Allegations of discrimination have created trouble for Shota Rustavelli Theater and Film, Georgia State University, which trains actors, directors, and others involved in theater and film, after an applicant named Nutsa Gogoladze claimed she was denied admission due to her prosthetic eye. The allegations are backed up by an official document from the university listing, and I quote, irreparable organic defect, end quote, as a ground for rejecting the applications. Nutsa's story unleashed a string of other reports of rejections based on physical appearance, including weight and facial features. In a statement responding to the case, the public defender's office reminded everyone that any discrimination based on disability is illegal. U.S. State Department audit uncovered that someone had stolen nearly $160,000 from the U.S. Embassy in Tbilisi between 2010 and 2014, according to the report. An unidentified individual pocketed small cash purchases from the commissary over a span of 4 years and deleted electronic sales records to cover her or his tracks. After successfully stealing $8,700 in the first year of the scam, the thief grew increasingly bold, embezzling $46,000 in 2012. So far, the audit has been unable to identify the culprit due to the large number of people with access to the commissary and its accounting software during the period in question. But they'll get there. I hope they publish the name when they do. The Interior Ministry announced a new 100-point traffic violation scheme. Drivers will start with 100 points and will be penalized by demerits ranging from 5 to 30 points for different violations cited by patrol officers. Offenses recorded by video will not be counted, bizarrely. Once a driver reaches zero, they'll have to retake their license test. This is, of course, idiotic, especially considering that the points automatically renew each year. If they wanted to do something useful, they'd put out a speed trap in front of the actual Ministry of Interior at about 4 a.m. when the cabs are flying in from the airport. Tbilisi Transportation Service is considering creating a new connection to Rustavi to improve traffic and travel conditions. The department's looking at constructing a tram or above-ground metro to connect with Samgori Station. However, this project is dependent on the completion of the Tbilisi Bypass Railway. The department head, Mamuka Mumladze, estimated that 20,000 passengers make it the daily commute. Currently, Rustavi and Tbilisi are connected by 300 minibuses. Geostat published economic growth numbers in May, reporting a year-on-year GDP growth of 5.3%. This beats the 3.5% and 4% annual growth rates predicted by the World Bank and IMF, respectively. The biggest growth rates were in hospitality and real estate sectors, where revenue grew year-on-year by 23% and 22%. Increased exports also contributed to GDP growth. Copper exports were up 134%, and alcoholic beverage exports up 93%. However, year-on-year inflation also rose to 7.1% in June. Fuel was hit especially hard, seeing a 23% increase in gasoline prices. Production prices also rose by 9%, and tobacco by 3.6%. Kuwait's Wataniya Airlines announced that it will be making regular flights between Kutaisi and Kuwait City from the 11th of July to the 29th of October. Flights will depart three times a week, Monday, Tuesday, and Friday. Wataniya Airways has been inactive since 2011 due to debts incurred in Kuwait, but it's operating again. Its goal is eventually to have regular service to 17 regional destinations. Iranian carrier Asiman Airlines also announced it will operate biweekly flights between Rasht and Tbilisi through the 21st of September. Georgia's first private observatory is under construction near Bazaleti, a rural village 30 minutes north of Tbilisi. Scheduled to be completed by the end of this year, it will be the first remote robotic observatory in the country. The building will be open for astrophotography projects as well as educational initiatives. Chemist and astrophotographer David Dvali, who is the founder of the Georgian Astrophotographers Association, GeoAstra, is leading and funding most of the project. In sports, Georgian wrestlers took home 13 medals in the European Junior Wrestling Championship held in Germany last weekend. Greco-Roman wrestling team came in first with 8 medals, 3 of which were gold. Freestyle team came in third after getting 5 medals. Georgia's youth judo team won gold in Lithuania at the Cadet European Judo Championship, beating Hungary 4-1. The victory could help the cause of the Georgian Judo Federation, which has been promoting its youth programs in Kakheti schools and hopes to get the sport into schools across the country. In parliamentary news, Parliament voted unanimously on the 28th of June to increase penalties for young men avoiding compulsory military service. The bill cites practices including self-harm and phony illnesses supported by falsified documents. According to Irakli Sesiashvili, chair of the Defense and Security Committee, such activities constitute deception. However, many suspect the bill is a response to the non-parliamentary opposition party Girchi, which established a religious organization in April to take advantage of the exemption for clergy members. The church Girchi established is named the, and I love this more than anything I've ever heard in a long time, the Christian Evangelical Protestant Biblical Freedom Church of Georgia, and is currently being investigated by the government, which questioned that it may be unfair competition with the Pastafarian Church of the Giant Spaghetti Monster. Meme this week comes from Georgian photographer Asha Sheehan. Shaheen. It's a photo of graffiti spotted on Melikashvili Avenue in Tbilisi. The graffiti reads, "Is there life on Mars?" followed by a dollar sign. It's next to an elderly man, woman sweeping. Street art is relatively new to Tbilisi, but has gained a moderate international reputation due to artists like DC Love, Gagosh, and Tamuns. For the last 2 years, Fabrica has held a urban paint festival. Stuff to read. The Economist published a political analysis of contemporary Georgia, which was apparently written in response to last week's decision by Osneba to delay full implementation of the electoral reforms until 2024. The article is a cohesive recap of the major events that define the power struggle between Bidzina and Misha and their respective party. Also highlights some of the biggest headlines of the past year, including the kidnapping of Azeri journalist Afghan Mukhtarli, the assault of state auditor Lasha Tordia, and the upcoming Tbilisi mayor election. While the article probably doesn't contain any information you haven't seen before, it's a solid overview and could be useful for those looking for a quick and balanced introduction. Transparency International Georgia has a report calling Otsneva's decision to delay implementation of the new proportional election system until 2024 parliamentary elections unacceptable and unreasonable, and they are undoubtedly right. The report argues that since the switch is to a proportional system and was supported by the Venice Commission, the unilateral decision of the ruling party to delay the new system is unjustified political move to increase their chances of victory in 2020 because the current majoritarian system heavily favors incumbent candidates. The report criticizes Otsneva's perpetually moving the goalpost. As in 2012, reform was promised but not delivered for the 2016 elections. It's incredibly frustrating because obviously they intended to do this all along, and we've all been played by participating in this constitutional conversation, which they are pretending was serious. For an in-depth look at Georgian labor laws and the Chiatuta mining operation related to the ongoing Georgian manganese lawsuit, look at the 2015 piece from Open Democracy Russia. Reporter Mari Nikuradze interviews miners, examines the working conditions and the environmental situation, and reviews a history of mining in Georgia since Soviet times, including the many failed efforts of the trade unions to receive better conditions. Center for Security Studies at the Swiss think tank ETH Zurich releases a report detailing economic activity between China and the Caucasus since the Soviet period. The report compiles data collected in interviews, surveys, and observations of traders at Tbilisi's Lilo Bazaar and other large marketplaces, and focusing on grassroots face-to-face transactions as opposed to larger corporate activities. For this reason, it's quite an interesting report. Compared to the wild capitalism of the 90s, the report concludes that these days trade is largely amicable and professional. Open letter posted on the Daily O concerning Georgian immigration went viral this week. A young Indian woman who traveled to Georgia as a tourist was turned away at the border when officials claimed that her passport was damaged and potentially duplicated. Not trusting the explanation they were given, the woman researched her case and published her experience and findings in the letter. She argues that what happened to her was actually very common, that the reason for large-scale denial of tourists is due to prejudices about recent increase in Indian agricultural workers coming to Georgia. The Interior Ministry posted a response claiming that an increase in refusals is natural given the increase of visitors. According to their numbers, about 6,500 Indians entered Georgia this June, and in the first quarter of the year, 240 have been denied entrance, the most from any country, which is, doing the math, approximately 8% of all Indians that came in were turned away. Caucasus Research Resource Center has an infographic on transparency in municipal governments. They requested data from each region using a Freedom of Information request. After two rounds of requests, they scored each region based on the quality of information received. All but two regions, Salca and Gardabani, provided some data, and eight regions scored full marks by providing all the requested information. Note that Gardabani is the same rayon with the recent and ongoing corruption scandal related to privatization that we have covered. All this stuff to read is posted on our forum. This week's dive bar number is 666,493. That's the number of international tourists who visited Georgia in June, a 28.5% year-on-year increase from the previous June. The highest number of travelers still come from neighboring countries, but triple-digit increases were seen from Iran, Uzbekistan, Saudi Arabia, and India. From the British Georgian Society, Justin McKenzie Smith, the British ambassador to Georgia, and Tamar Betachashvili, the Georgian ambassador to the UK, will give a joint talk on the 6th of July at Westminster Hall at the Palace of Westminster. The event is from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. Georgian wine and snacks will be provided. The event is for British Georgian Society members only. If you're interested, then send them an email. U.S. Embassy is putting on its annual 4th of July party. It'll be on the 8th of July on Saturday. Tickets go fast. Talk to AmCham. American political scientist Lincoln Mitchell will give a talk on U.S.-Georgian relations in the Trump era on July 11th at the NATO and EU Center, the old Europe House on Freedom Square. Talks hosted by the Jefferson Institute, U.S. political think think tank will take place between 3:30 and 5:30. Third installment of EzoFest, an electronic music festival, will be held on the 15th of July. It'll be at Tatsminda Park and feature performances from Voodoo Shaman, Pierre Bucci, Dandy Jack, Caesar Merville, and Adil Hiani. Also from the British Shore Society, on the 14th of September, Eric Lee, American trade unionist, is launching his new book, The Experiment. We'll let you know as soon as we find out the time and place. Georgia's 9th Annual International Film Festival awarding cameramen and women known as GoldenEye will take place on September 25th and 6th. The main goal of the festival is to support the development of movie and TV camera operators, currently taking submissions at all levels. The 6th Annual Tbilisi Marathon will take place on the 22nd of October. If you're interested in joining or participating in some way, talk to Heidelberg Cement. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email is tbilpod@gmail.com, or post the form on the website, www.tbilpod.com. And we will finish with, from Auckland, New Zealand, 2009, featuring Eva Lamkum, this is Sola Rosa and Turnaround. Yeah.